members that are out that we can be able to study the meeting. Just 2 minutes. She will be able to arrive safe, and still was sending an apology from the chairperson of the portfolio committee, who is not feeling well. I think it should be within our standing item to collect send our sympathy. And make sure that the chairperson really recover and be able to come back to us as soon as possible. Honourable members, the department last time they brought the document late, but I guess we had enough ample time to read the document, which I think we are ready to engage with it. Honourable DG, I think we'll be able to offer you the opportunity to engage with us in terms of the quarterly performance of the third quarter performance of the portfolio committee of the department. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Just 7 minutes.
I'm sorry, Jay. I just wanted just to confirm, because originally the program said that we had to see CRASA today. Are we stopping the, are we doing today's third quarter today, and are we then doing CRASA next week? Because I was expecting to see CRASA today. Thanks.
Jay, I must also try and submit an apology that we try to communicate with all members in relation to PRASA issue. The chairperson of the board of PRASA submitted an apology last week when they were meeting with at SCOPA. That's they are meeting with the international insurance companies, which is an outstanding meeting that always happens every year. Insurance that look after the safety of our commuters. So we decided to, because they are not around this week, they are in London, that at least we shift and bring back the department to come and listen to us. And we're going to be able to engage with the brother to push and check whether next week they can be able to come and be a present. Because remember, when we engaged with them, is that we wanted a full consent of that particular entity. Because we don't want half response. What a full response. That's why we had to make sure that everybody is present on us. I think that is in order. Can we continue, TG?
Thank you, Chairperson. We will present our report for the third quarter. I think at the onset, we may wish to highlight that it's always a challenge presenting a report when we are nearing the end of the quarter following that, because a lot of things have taken place since the period over which we are reporting. But we will be able to provide feedback where the honourable members have questions. So as usual, we will provide the performance against our APP as well as the financial performance information. On slide 4, honorable members will note that we had a total number of 50 targets, and we were able to achieve 35, which translates to 70%, and 15 or 30% of the targets were not achieved. And the next slide is an elaboration of that program. We will note that the first program, being administration, achieved 2.5% of this target, which went down from the 87% that was achieved in the second quarter. In integrated transport planning, we achieved 78.8, which also went down from the 89% achieved in the second quarter. Rail transport, we achieved 80%. A bit down from the 100% that was achieved in the second quarter. On the rail road transport side, it was 100% in the second quarter and 100% again in the third quarter. Civil aviation, 87.5% in the third quarter. It went down from 100% in the second quarter. Maritime is 25% achieved, which went down from a low performance speed of 37.5%. I think this clearly indicates to honorable members that we still have challenges in this area, in the department. Public transport, we achieved 75%, down from 87.5%. And the overall is that in the third quarter we have achieved 70%, which is down from 84% in the second quarter. A more detailed explanation of the areas that have been achieved and not achieved begins on slide 7. In administration, the achievements include financial governance compliance and control, the progress report on implementation of action plans to address audit findings compiled and presented to EXCO and Audit Committee in November, the DOT risk management strategy, progress report on implementation of agreed action plans for strategic risks and presented to EXCO and RSC, enterprise architecture, ICT security and solutions infrastructure developed, the human resource development strategy, 53 internship posts advertised through the media, and 18 interviews held across various branches during November. And 18 candidates were identified for appointment. Communications and marketing strategy,
media activity coordinator for October Transport Month and festive period road safety campaigns, event logistics support provided for Minister and the Deputy Minister events, and 98% of presidential hotline cases were resolved. The internet system, the internet portal was implemented, and during the period under review, content was being uploaded onto the content, onto the portal. And integrated transport planning, the review of the white paper on national transport policy, recommendations were developed and incorporated into the white paper draft 2 report. The single transport economic regulator, the STAR draft bill completed and cabinet memo submitted for ministerial approval. Draft subsidiary regulations for complaints, review and appeals were also developed. The private sector participation framework, stakeholder consultations were conducted in the quarter, and the consolidated PSP final report was developed. The Green Transport Strategy draft status quo analysis report was compiled. The road freight strategy consultations were conducted, and a dock strategy updated with stakeholder inputs. NetMap 2050, it's a typing error there, is 2050, not 2050. It's been delayed, as honorable members might recall. This went up to the cabinet committee, and it was referred back for consultation with the PICC, and we have not made much progress in that process. There were 2 or 3 presentations to the PICC, but it hasn't really moved. The Harrismith Hub, bilateral consultations with Free State provincial government were done. However, the 2 stakeholders were not engaged targeted. The rail policy, stakeholder consultations on the green paper were conducted in the non-provinces and together with SOCA, NetLag and TRASA. The branch line strategy finalized and submitted for approval. Railway safety regulator bill, stakeholder consultations of the draft bill concluded with TRASA, RSR, Transnet and Bombella Cooperating Company. Railway safety strategy, the draft strategy was not completed as targeted in quarter 3. Remedial action is development of strategy to be fast-tracked in quarter 4. Pending appointment of a service provider. I think at the appropriate time the branch can give an update on that. The green paper on road transport policy, stakeholder inputs consolidated and the draft green paper in the roads policy finalized. Access roads development plan, status quo report completed, local authorities engaged through monthly program meetings as well as national RAMS workshop. ARTO amendment bill, the ARTO bill and cabinet memorandum was submitted to the minister for approval. That is at a time. Obviously there have been further developments around that as well. On the road, on the provincial road maintenance program, Jamba Songe, PRMG project monitored as per APP,
progress status on expenditure and fiscal indicators provided, and 9 PRMG tranche payments were effected. On the civil aviation side, ACFA and HNS amendment bill stakeholder consultations on the two bills conducted during November 2015, NVAP and NADP consultations on both were conducted with DECO National Treasury, JPPS Plaza and NUCOP principals. The SFC agreement in terms of the Yamasuko decision, bilateral air service agreements and MOUs were concluded with Egypt, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Mauritius, and Sierra Leone. Civil aviation amendment bill, further inputs were received from Dakar on accident investigation, pursuant to a meeting between the DOT and the Civil Aviation Authority, and inputs were incorporated. Regulations for the phasing out of the noisy Chapter 2 aircraft, regulations for the phasing out of this type of aircraft were approved by the Minister in October and came into force in January 2016. Implementation being monitored. Upgrading of Mutata Airport. There has been not much progress there as a result of the disputes with the contractor about the poor quality of work that has been done there, and with the contractor wanting to be paid to correct their own shortcomings. Remedial action documentation for the transfer of the asset will be submitted to the Eastern Cape Government DOT during quarter four. I think on this one we hope that things will begin to move faster and in the right direction, because ACFA has now been appointed to manage the Mutata Airport on behalf of the Eastern Cape Government. The Merchant Shipping Bill, discussion paper on the Merchant Shipping Bill presented to Cluster, PCOT, NCOP, the discussion paper tabled and signed. Maritime Charter, Charter presented to parliamentary committee. Maritime transport policy. The green paper could not be finalized for submission to the ICTF cluster due to capacity constraints. The finalization of the green paper and the submission to ICTF should be fast-tracked in quarter four. Cabotage policy. This policy is supposed to form part to be a chapter in the National Maritime Transport Policy, so it has also been delayed together with the policy. The recommendations of the mock audit findings. Approved report was not submitted to stakeholders as was targeted in quarter two. In quarter three, it is reported that implementation of audit recommendations has been monitored on a continuous basis. However, no evidence was provided to support information. Maybe I could just pause here and indicate that this is a recurrent problem in the department, where we achieve a target, but somehow do not submit the requisite evidence an achievement was made, and as a result, it ends up being recorded as a non-achievement. The maritime transport carry over deliverables from quarter two. The cabotage strategy was supposed to have been done in quarter two, even in quarter three it has not been done, together with the cabotage bill. The inland waterway strategy could also not be submitted to ESCO. ESCO has targeted due to poor attendance on the advisory committee on small vessels to finalize the draft. I think the last part of that explanation is maybe not relevant to this committee and to honorable members. What is important is that the draft strategy could not be submitted to ESCO as targeted. Remedial actions to the program to ensure submission to ESCO. On the public transport side, integrated public transport network plans in district municipalities. IPTN operational plan developed for our Tambo DM and consultations conducted. Taxi recapitalization, 604 old taxi vehicles were scrapped during periods under review. Taxi recapitalization program review. First draft CRP review has been developed. Integrated public transport turnaround plan. Comments from bus subcommittee have been considered and incorporated into version 1 of the final draft. This version was circulated to provinces in November. The non-achievables with regard to public transport. The review of the rural transport strategy, review strategy not submitted to FOSAT as targeted, as we are still going through the MINMEC process, strategy to be tabled at the next meeting of FOSAT. Next is the Land Transport Amendment Day. By then, the bill had not been submitted to the state law advisor as targeted in quarter two. The bill was not submitted to POC as PCOT as targeted in second and third quarter. Targets not achieved. I think colleagues will update the Commission on honorable members on progress in that regard. The next set of slides, page 1 to 31 to 37 is just a plan around how we intend to deal with the targets that have fallen behind over the coming period until the end of the financial year. So the performance against our APP ends here, and I can ask the CFO to present the financial information.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, DG. Mine is just to give you a sense of where we are on the figures. Slide 39. In the total adjusted budget of 53.6 billion, we have, as at the end of December, which is the 31st of December, have spent about 74% of our budget, which is in line with seeing us spend the whole amount by the end of March. Administration sitting at about 74%, we'll go into the details of that. ITP 70%, rail transport at 77%, road transport at 79%, civil aviation at 70%, maritime transport at 65%, and public transport at 58%. In the next slide, slide number 40, we put the expenditure to economic classification. We start with compensation of employees, sitting at 72%. Our goods and services budget slightly at 76%. Transport subsidies at 24%. And machinery and equipment at around 124%. And the payment for financial assets is sitting at 0% at the time because it has not been done yet. We don't anticipate overspending on compensation of employees. What has happened is that in the adjustment budget, the National Treasury has given us additional funding. However, the appropriation has not come through, so it has not approved yet. We didn't receive the final appropriation from National Treasury, so as a consequence, we report on what has already been appropriated. It came only in this quarter four. With those services, overspending due to cost of maintenance and operating initiatives, the European state generals that we had to undertake, which was unforeseen and unavoidable, and that we have not got money for that, and an AU conference that we were also forced to undertake, which was unforeseen and unavoidable, and that money has not come through. Transfer and subsidies, understand due to delays in approving the right cash flow projections for PRADA mainly. We give PRADA money, but before we can distribute that money, some of the cash flow projections have to be approved. So we are waiting for that approval. It came only in quarter four. PRNG as well as slow spending on the taxi capitalizing project. Some of the areas were transferred have lagged behind due to firstly the nature of the grants, and sometimes we hold that money where compliance has not been met. The national equipment classification of quite in this due to modified cash funds will be shifted for goods and services to cover that overspending there. Next slide. We then take each program economic classification, compensation of employees program one, which is administration. We are overspending by about 8 million there. Spending is seeing at 73%, as I said. Funds have been approved but not yet appropriated this quarter, and therefore we are voting against the available or like the adjusted budget, but not the one that has been appropriated after the mini budget in October. Goods and services at 74%, transfer subsidies at 75%. Material equipment at 144%, and then the payment financial assets, as it were, we have to move money from goods and services to cover that. As I said, goods and services, mainly transport costs in state funders and AU conference will come through this program, and therefore that has not been got, which is, was, as I said, an amount that was unforeseen and unavoidable. Program 2, ICT. Compensation of employees, it's about 25%, it's about overtime by about 2 million. Goods and services at about 64%. And machinery and equipment, it's a small amount of about 643,000. But you can see that because of the projections and the adjusted budgets, the expenditure is a bit above, and the consequence is showing about 128%. The total for this branch is at around 70%. We also do not anticipate any overspending as additional funds have been approved but not appropriated. The goods and services budget underspend was due to some of the projects that DG has alluded to the fact that they haven't yet reached their target, and as they reach their target, some of this amount will have to be spent in that regard, and therefore our goods and services would have to increase. Compensation of employees sitting at 72%, goods and services at around 40%. Mainly here we have underpinning due to outstanding invoices on the rail quality green paper and the National Railway Amendment Bill. As I said before, we use cash accounting. Consequently, if we have not received any invoice, even if the work is done, the expenditure would not reflect, because we only recognize it as expenditure if the invoice is received and paid. Transfer and subsidy is at 77%. The total for this branch is at 77% spent at the end of December, 31st December. Extended Economic Certification Program 4. Here we dealing with the roads branch. Compensation of employees sitting at 66%. Goods and services sitting at 327%, if you can see it. Adjusted budget was sitting at 48 million. We had expenditure of 158 million. And we are now overspending at 122. The rationale there is the unfunded mandate of the maintenance of and operating of the E-Netis, as we said. This is as a consequence of the court order that we have adhered to. That we have done until the end of April 2015. From there onwards, we have not paid any invoice, and there is no invoice that we anticipate to pay as we are in court with the service provider on the matter to set up at the very same court order. Transfer and subsidies, as I understand, due to delays in approving the right cash flow for the PRMG by the National Treasury. So sometimes you want to move money between provinces, and the National Treasury must approve the revision of that cash flow, and by the end of December that was not done. So we wouldn't have moved the money anywhere ever as a consequence. Program 5, we are at 21%, the compensation of employees, goods and services at 62%, mainly due to outstanding invoices from Telkom for housekeeping services and the regulating committee, and the amendment of the civil aviation at so those will come through. Once those invoices come through, we expect that to also increase. Transfer and subsidies at 83%, machinery and equipment above by 231,000 rand. As I said, we'll be moving money out of goods and services to cover that area of the budget. Program 6. Compensation of employees at 66%, goods and services at 58%, understand due to delays in appointment of service providers in the following projects: the white paper on maritime transport policy, cultural strategy, and the review of the merchant shipping African maritime charter, and the feasibility study on the transport services. So those are a bit delayed, so we'll see money coming up in that area once we have appointed the service providers and they start billing. For now, the budget is at about 58% as the end of December. Transport and subsidy sitting at 80%. Machinery equipment overspent by about 36,000 rand. Program 7, public transport. There is 25% there of compensation of employees and overspending of about 2 million. As we said, additional funds have been approved but not yet appropriated as the 31st of December. Underspending due to IDTN in the state municipalities as well as delays in the taxi scheduling model. Here is the area where we are underspending because we have not had a lot of progress on that, but as I said, some of these invoices come through and we pay them then. Transfer of capital taxi capitalization underspending due to the slow spending, which is when we receive taxes, just credit, and therefore we depend on the demand for scraping services, then we pay accordingly. The next slide just gives you a sense on the transfer payment. Provincial road maintenance at 82%. PTOG, which is what we used to call the bus subsidy, at 69%. PTNG, which is a public transport network, which is a BRT, is sitting at 50%. And this is mainly because we are dealing with municipalities and they are financially only starts on the 1st of July. So that's when we start paying the main line with that. So we expect that to increase as well. Rural road asset management funds, the whole amount has now been spent. So we look at public operations and you see that you have 77% spent on PASA, SANRAL 26%, ATMC 25%, Rail Way Safety Regulator 100%, Civil Aviation Authority 25%, the Port Regulator sitting at 84%, Arcia sitting at 75%, MRCC 75%, and the transport sector 85%. The total of that transfer payment sitting at around 24%. You see that we have also added the smaller transfer payment like taxi scraping, as I said, sitting at 37% because due to the demand. The Santiago at 86%, higher education institutions at 74%, and international organizations at 88%. So as I said, the transfer payments are all sitting at around 74%, all of them, as at the end of December. The provincial road maintenance grants, graphic representations of where we are, you will see that with KZN, for instance, the amount of about 1.8 billion, and you see that we spend slightly below that, and the money spent by province is below what we have transferred. We always try to make sure that the money that we transfer is what is spent. So in other areas, when we see that the transfer is more than what is spent by province, we slow down so that they can catch up so that at the end of the financial year, we don't have this full. So that is just slide 51, just shows you. Eastern Cape 81%, Free State 85%, Gauteng sitting at 85%, AZN 85%, Limpopo 78%, Mpumalanga 79%, Northwest 85%, Northern Cape 87%, and Western Cape 76%. So we are sitting overall to the of about 80% of what we have transferred. Life Institute deals with the public transport operation grant and how it has been spent in different provinces. You see the biggest is in Gauteng, budget of 8.6 billion rand. We have already transferred 1.2, and what has been spent by province is around 1.3 as well. The other one is Western Cape. You see 796 million rand. 562 has been transferred and 533 has been spent by the province. KZN, 924 million. 653 has been transferred and the province has already overspent at what we have given at 691. So you see that will also be in line with the spending. We anticipate that we'll spend this grant according to what has been spent. The next slide is just a numerical representation of those that I've showed in the previous one. Public transport network grant, this is where we send money on BRTs and other areas of public transport. You see that the city of Johannesburg has a major chunk of it. That's 1.1 billion. So far, it has been transferred 575 million, and the main party has only spent 242. You would see that the city of Cape Town has a budget of about 1.93 billion. Transfer 546, and what is spent is 357. Rustenburg, 552 million, was the budget. Transfer 250 million rand, and 205 has been spent. The city of Tshwane, 931 budget, 465 transferred, and 453 has been spent. Nelson Mandela Bay, 372, the budget, what has been spent, very, very little. What has been transferred is 186 million rand. That is our numerical representation. You see that we are sitting at around 50% in our areas, and the lowest is about 30%. It's in Busunduzi municipality. So you see that some of those amount that is spent, but overall total grant spent is 50%. On issues of governance, here is just following up on audit findings. So what we do once the auditor general has given us the management report, together with the final report, audit report, we put action plans in place to ensure that we address those audit findings. So far, we have actioned and addressed most of the 14, 15 audit findings. And they will then be attached as an extra in the And then risk management, strategic risk progress management also, we manage those risks and we ensure that that also gets attached as part of the governance processes that we are taking within the department. Thank you very much, Chair, and DG Roy for the question of clarity there. Thanks.
Thank you, the report, I think I'll give members an opportunity to engage. I know that you are a counselor, Honorable Singer, Honorable Lauzi, Honorable Masangai, Honorable Rakan, in that order.
Thank you, Kate. Jay, I want to start with this by saying, I've got a whole lot of questions. I can ask a total of 47 questions, which I cannot do today.
Let me give you two rounds. ask the first round, short question, so that everybody will have an opportunity and we'll give a lot of rounds that can be enjoyed.
Thank you, Chief. But yeah, just before we ask questions, I actually want to make a recommendation for future meetings. And the reason I'm saying this is, you know, wonderful going through the presentation. We've had the presentation for 2 weeks. We've read the presentation. So we've already read it. We've just wasted an hour of the time to go through it again. Maybe what we need to do is not go through presentations page by page and line by line, but actually give us more insight into it so that we don't have to worry about questions. That is just really a suggestion that I want to make. And then it's also better that the department actually compile us a table with all the targets at the progress map. That will also assist. So when you say program one, these are the targets. This is what we've achieved. Well, how far are we? Why have we not achieved it? It will just take so much of a distance away, because right now all we're doing is we're trying to see where we are. I'm going to try and skip as many as I can. Just on the DOT Internet system, page number 9. What is the meaning? What are you meaning by saying content is not available or content availability? Then page 10, are we going to bring the vacancy rate in line? I'm thinking specifically now with planning for the future after the budget, where the minister indicated that positions that were not filled, that we are not going to, we're going to try not fill positions to save money there. How is that going to affect the department? Page 13, what was the reason for the unforeseen delays? And what were the unforeseen delays for the inconvening inter-ministerial committee? Page 13. I'm going to try and just get to the end there. Okay, capital recapitalization program, page 27. We're saying 804 old taxis were scrapped. What was the target? What was the percentage to the target? Because if we look at the spending, we can see that it's really underspent. So the question is, do we have too much money? Have we allocated too much money? Let's take money away from the department. I don't want to go through all of those. Just on overspending and underspending. You know, if you've got a cake in front of you, you can only eat. If there's 10 slices in that cake, you can only eat 10 slices. How is it that we can get where we overspend it? And then underspend, you know, and if you don't eat the cake, it's going to rot. So it's just as bad as underspending. Now, what are we going to do so that we do not have a situation of overspending? If we look at the roads, where was that? Sure. I've just got questions on every page. If we look at provincial road maintenance, I'll make it my last one, on provincial road maintenance. You know, if we look at KwaZulu-Natal specifically, we look at that they haven't spent the money that was transferred to them. Now, if they had fantastic roads in KwaZulu-Natal, you can understand it, but there are areas where the roads are terrible. Okay, so also, is there any reason from catered in province for the reason why they are not on target? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the department for the presentation. My first question is on page number 9, where there's reference in the REIT some internet portal not implemented due to delays in content availability. I would like to know whether this is a hardware issue, is this a software issue, or is it the human capacity shortfall, since I also recognize that we still have to fill some vacancies? So what in particular is the issue there? Then on page 10, where it's mentioned that some vacancies were not filled, how long are these particular vacancies open for the duration of the vacancies then? And what are the challenges? Why can't they be filled?
Then on page 13, we have mention of the internal ministerial committee, where unforeseen delays are offered as the reason for the constraint why they couldn't be convened. So, what is the specific constraint? Why can't we get the interministerial committee together, and when will they get together? Since this is quite an important program, and I'm referring to the NECPAC 2050. Next question is on page 16, on the National Railway Safety Strategy, which I regard as a very high priority. And there, the draft strategy was not developed as targeted. So, what's the follow-up plan? Because in the schedule that you offer as a remedy to all the shortfalls on the targets that were not achieved, I missed this. So, what is the follow-up plan for finalizing the strategy so that we can finally see something happening on this very important National Railway Safety Strategy. Then on page 21, where the explanation is offered that the radiation orders was necessary since the scope of work changed. What specifically changed in the scope of the work that was tendered for, and why the elements were necessary in terms of that particular project. On page 23, the National Maritime Transport Policy, there again, it's obvious that the green paper could not be finalized for submission to the International Cooperation Trade and Security Cluster due to capacity constraints. Now, what is the constraint? Why can't this happen, and when will this happen, since it's quite important? Because this now is a hold-up for a whole lot of other stuff that needs to fall in place since we've adopted the convention. I didn't know the questions were limited to a number, Chair, but I honor your suggestion that I have a last chance. Will we get a second round, Chair? Because I still want to get to that. Thank you, Chair. On page 24, the recommendations of the mock audit findings in quarter 3, which mentioned that no evidence was provided to support the reported information. What's our remedy there? Certainly, as management, we should be a plan around this, and what are the action steps in particular? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will start by asking or trying to put the on behalf of the committee again on page 5 about this gross understanding by the department. The understanding of the department during quarter 3 is a concern for us, because I don't know what will happen at this quarter, the final quarter of the year. Because I don't know what are we pitching to the Treasury if indeed this understanding continues even to this present quarter. Is it not going to affect us when we're in the next financial years, when we need money, or when they want to cut money from the departments? Hence, we have so many programs where you find that you will say that we don't have money to do 1, 2, 3, 4, while we understand when we're giving money by the Treasury. I think this understanding is not a good favor for the department. Because most of the reason we had on the presentation is that we don't have enough resources. And while the resources allocated for us, we understand. So I'm happy about the internet portal that you said that you rectified within this 2 days. But on the previous document was given last time when this meeting didn't materialize, it was said that the internet portal not implemented, but the presentation today it seems that it's already fixed. The other question is page 17 about the ARPA bill. The ARPA amendment bill, which is that the cabinet memorandum was submitted to the minister for approval. So, at what stage now at this quarter, this bill at quarter four, as we're finalizing the year, is this bill now approved by the minister, or how far will the minister approve this bill, as you said the cabinet has forwarded it to the minister's office? The recap program, page 27, 804 old taxis scrapped during the period under review. How many taxis which were scrapped, the old taxis which were scrapped in quarter three? Not under review. Under review is like too general, we don't know in which quarter, in both quarters under review, or only for this quarter, this 804 is for only the quarter three or not. Yeah, the last question, Chair, is about the land transport amendment bill, which was targeted to be completed in quarter two. And we completed the quarter three. The bill is not yet. So we want to know the status for now at this quarter about this bill, which was just getting over from quarter two, quarter three. We don't know now. We don't want to be surprised at the end of this quarter that the bill is still having challenges to be amended. Thank you.
Alright, thank you. On this, Gigi, you've noticed that some of the questions have been repeated. So, can you please be able to respond to this from us so that you can be able to take other members so that you don't pile up questions and end up answering other questions? Gigi?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will ask the colleagues to respond to the questions in their respective areas. I can deal with the issue of the vacancy rate. It's a challenge we are facing. We know that we need to bring the vacancy rate to 10% and below, but in August, we received a letter from National Treasury that we shouldn't fill any position. So since that time, we could not move. And recent cabinet Lokota has also decided that the filling of positions should not proceed, but we are waiting at this moment for National Treasury and DPSA to unpack that decision and advise the department on how we should move forward. But until we get that guidelines from National Treasury and the DPSA, we are stuck. We can't move and fill positions, and that is one deliverable that we are most probably not going to meet because of the instructions that we got from National Treasury. But colleagues, please. Therefore, you can take the finance.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start with slide 5. Slide 5 is an indication of under and over performance on targets. It's not an indication of understanding of the budget. We are not understanding on the budget. We are sitting at 74%, so if you look at a linear calculation, divided into four quarters, you'll be seeing somewhere at 75%. So, it does that the budget always not linear. So we don't spend, we spend according to when we pay and all that. So we are not understanding on the budget. The other issue is the cake issue. You slice it. You are going to only eat what you have. You can't necessarily go there. If you take the cake analogy, you have a lot of cakes. So one cake is compensation of employees, another is goods and services, and they're all sliced and diced. You are allowed to go and use this cake, eat it and not eat this one. So you are in the whole budget. The budget process works in such a way that you plan to spend this way. But as you spend money, there are times when there are certain things that are unforeseen, some of them unavoidable. Now you then reprioritize within the whole budget. The main of the space is that you must not spend over 8% of the other cake in another. Therefore, you can do via men of about 8%. So that's how we manage the budget. So that's why you see somewhere where you go back to we say we move money out of goods and services at the end of the year to cover the other and over. And that's how we try to manage the budget. Of course, what we try to do is stick to what we plan, but the planning and the budgeting don't necessarily work hand in hand. And then there was an issue of, I think Maravata will address the issue of taxi scrapping. No money will be taken from us. This program works like this. People come with taxis, they scrap the taxis. We back. Then Brent can say, we think 2,000 is coming. What we have said is that there's fewer and fewer taxis coming. So if someone does not bring a taxi, there's no money you can spend. So it is demand driven. So the result, it's very difficult. So you try to look at last year, how much you spent, and you try to make a figure and say, this is how many taxis will come. But as you're seeing it, less and less taxis are coming, and I think we have discussed it in this committee over the period. I think that's from a budget perspective, the issues. I can hand over to Chris to try and probe. Thank you, PG, PG, and my colleagues. On the issue of a question was raised on the issue of non-performance on the one of the provinces, KZN, I think. Yeah. I think we have noted that at our meetings, our bilateral meetings with the provinces. I think I did table the engineer approach where we physically visit the provinces to monitor performance on the ground as well as compare with the expenditures on the ground. So we have picked up that some of the provinces, including KZN, and the planning processes are lagging behind. Insofar as you see their plan, their business plan, they came late as a result of that. Their plan is started a little bit late. So we are correcting that in this new financial year. So the submitted a business plan now, we've concluded all of them on the 26th of this month, and are happy with all the provinces, 9 provinces with their business plan. We had several meetings with them, the last one was on Friday last week. So I think we are dealing with this kind of discrepancies and delays in going out to tender the program. For they do program, it's not us. We just monitor the program. So, but for now I think we are comfortable that this repeat is not going to happen again. And on the issues of the deal, the ARTO bill, yes, the ARTO bill went through our minister signed until it went to cabinet. It was presented to cabinet and it went through cabinet processes. And I want to believe that last time we had it was on the agenda and brought to parliament to be engaged at the parliamentary level. So that is where it is now. So we were just discussing with my DG on the issue of quarter 4 and quarter 3. So a lot has happened. So in terms of quarter 3, yes, it is correct that the minister signed it, went through the process of cabinet. Cabinet passed it, approved it, and then now it's a route to parliament. That's where it is now. Maybe quarter 4 will be differently reported in terms of progress in the parliamentary processes. That's where we are now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. my question relates on the slide 16, which relates to the National Marine Safety Strategy. And the question was asked, what is the follow-up plan? The follow-up plan is in the back on page 53. We set those interim targets and in doubling up our efforts to attempt to hit the fourth quarter target. We in fact been able to hit those interim targets, and we are comfortable that we'll have a draft plan by the end of quarter four.
Thanks. With regard to the NetMap 2050 plan, the issue relates to what are the constraints. I think the challenge emanates from, in 2018, Minister submitted the plan to Cabinet, where Cabinet then gave instruction to say he need to review the plan working together with the PICC, MANGO. We then began that process early last year. And when we had an opportunity to engage the PICC, the PICC is made up of various substructures. There is the PICC Technical Committee, there is the PICC Secretariat, there is the PICC MANCO, the PICC Council. So we enter the process at the PICC Secretariat, where we engage with that structure. However, our initial engagement with the PICC Secretariat then redirected us to work with the technical committee, which we did. Since that period, our opportunity to go and engage and get their endorsement of what we have done had never happened. We tried so many avenues. Our DG wrote letters to their head of technical service and many other level of attempts, including our minister and the PM's office. Up to this point, we haven't secured that appointment. You will recall we tried to call a colloquium last year where we were presenting the outcome, which aligned itself to what the PICC was expecting from us. So the report has been finalized. Whatever we were supposed to do has been done. But our attempt to get the PICC in its various forms to endorse what has been done before it submitted to Cabinet playing out to be a bit difficult, and that's where the constraints are. And this could be a red flag. If we cannot get out of the situation, it means we cannot record the success. But the report that you receive, which we share with the members in the last colloquium, is an indication of what the DOT has done, and together with the minister, we have made those attempts to respond to it.
Okay. What's
yes, Chair, I'll be very brief. Let me just break the record for the brief. The NLTA bill unfortunately entered a space where we do not have control that much as a department, which the cabinet process. We went to cabinet, we were then referred back to go have a serious bilateral with the COPTA. And that has happened. We can clearly tell the committee that that bill now has been supported by the cabinet committee. We hope that it will therefore then be approved and processed to parliament as early as tomorrow. Not coming to parliament tomorrow, but approved by the full cabinet tomorrow. That is how far we had progressed. So we had then the target that was eluding us from quarter 2 and 3 have targeted now. We believe that when we come next, we will have improved on the targets. On the state recap, and unfortunately, as Lizard has indicated, that depends, is demand driven. It depends on the number of cases that are brought to us. For the reasons, we will buy that based on the history. And the cases are dependent upon the owners coming in. But that's becoming very slow now. The main reason being the availability of new taxes. That has gone sky high in terms of the new prices of new taxes. Hence, we are doing the review of the program as a whole. So it is not that I think maybe there was just a mixture of with the typos when we issued certain read of the test recap and then it talks about the number of tests scrapped. But the target have been fixed and set at 110 every quarter. We are slightly above that, other slightly way above that. But again, last year, as you, the committee would recall, we had a higher figure of over 1,000, and it was we underachieved because against demand driven. So those are the challenges. It is not that we set the target too low because we want to, but it is based on the history. Thank you.
Let me give to Aaron Maswangani. To do you want to have a follow up? Oh, I'm not there. Yeah, because you say now, take too long to answer the questions because another one must speak. I'm giving you 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize to Mrs. whether it was the first to speak on this, but just briefly on maritime transport policy. I think the report has been called three that we could not achieve, but I would like to assure the committee through the DG that the department has taken steps to ensure that the green paper is presented to cabinet in this financial year, and to the extent that the team is rolling out presentation to cabinet clusters as we speak, the ICTS is meeting in Pretoria, and a report and a presentation is being made there. With regards to the carbon strategy, you recall that in the report it's reflected that it is dependent on the maritime policy. You also appreciate that cabotage policy has to be declared before you develop a strategy. But what we have now done is to extract the policy provisions within the green paper and have produced terms of reference for the appointment of a service provider to develop a cabotage strategy. And alongside that as well, developing the cabotage deal, because these two instruments are key to the delivery of Operation Bakita. So I think in the fourth quarter, members would notice a slight improvement, but I must assure through the DG that the maritime team is working around the clock to ensure that the current picture changes drastically to ensure a positive outlook. Thank you.
Well, how do you answer that?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I think I managed to deal with the issue of the internet product. The portal, the technology and the infrastructure are already up and running. As of our process of modernizing the department, we are revolving our intranet and our internet. So part of that process has been that we needed to also to consolidate all the transport data into a central repository, which is what is the process that we are dealing with the issue of content. I can promise the committee we have already done that process before the end of this financial year. Our new internet will be up and running. Our internet already, as far as it is concerned, the program is up and running. It's just that we need to be able to ensure that we reflect all the content about transport and we use our portal more to help citizens to use it to research and also to be able to get all the laws and acts that you asked before, making sure that all that content will be available in the portal.
So in Kabina, yes. All right, we know that.
Thank you. The question that thought I'll address is the one of operation orders in relation to Mthatha Airports. We paid the service provider $364 million to upgrade. That included lights. Certain kind of lights that were supposed to be installed. On commissioning, it was commissioned. Once it started being used, we realized that the lights are now giving a problem. That's where the fight with the service provider comes from. If you must give him money to put in, he say he included in the 354 that we have paid them. So the variation order that they are referring to. Our view that is not a variation order as well. It was included in the initial specification. Thank you.
So basically it was specified in the service provider on Ropi in Akena. Yeah, but is it documented? Then you must stick to the documentation. Otherwise, you will find yourself spending more money and less stuff. I think let me give you an opportunity.
I will start with the matter that the CFO has commented about now. Do you have the inspection of the milestone when you roll out the project? And then you issue an engineering payment certificate at that milestone. But how there comes that at the end, you find when you complete a project, it has got lots of defects when you have been inspecting the project on a regular basis. Because I don't think you allow somebody to construct and pay at the end. It can't work that way. So how is the inspection done? Because I think you have got a team of engineers. As much as you have a contract on site, but your team of engineers should be there to make sure that there is a quality assurance. Because what it means is that AFSA is going to take a liability in regard to what the rate now. I also raised this 12% in relation to a project in Bando, not far from where I stay. There is a big intermodal transport facility. I don't know under which division this is. That's between ShopRite and Telkom. I think you know it. That model facility, it can't be used. I think the contractor was WHO, something like that. The cracks there are terrible. You have to demolish it. It can't be used. And you ask yourself that government spends so much money on a big facility like this in a rural town, and then at the end you are faced with a shoddy work by such so-called reputable company. How do we have that thing? Because there's no way. A building, you can't touch it or you can't weld it. If it can't be used, it has to be demolished. But it's money that we are spending. Surely, even if maybe you have requested the provincial government and it applied or whatever, but the department which issues out the money should be interested in following where the money is going and the work that is being done by the enterprise and the Tondo or the Tulamena municipality. The last issue is the second last is the National Rail Policy Stakeholder Consultation. I don't see transport on slide here. I see BRASA and others. Is transport part of NetLeg or you have just omitted them here? Because they are a very important stakeholder. And last comment is on slide 5. The downward trend in terms of performance, where is it going to end? If you have been going up, now everything, all the arrows are pointing down. I don't know, I can't claim the quarter four as much as we should be receiving that support, but this is not good. All the arrows are shot. It doesn't seem like there's one which is pointing upwards. And so it's a cause for concern. This is more of a comment than a question. Thanks.
Second?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. This one about slide 5, I also don't want to do an overkill because already it's spoken about. But what I wanted to know, what is it that you are not doing that you were doing last year? That is because as you progress forward,
we should be gaining more skills, more understanding, ability to be able to do things better. Now, suddenly, if you're going backwards, something that you are not doing that you were doing last year, what is it? I hear you saying, no, we are doing all of that. If you look, you meet and you say, when we had 100% and now suddenly we have 80%, or as worse it is, not a time transport, 37% last year, that's called last year. If you make a comparison, why 25? What is it that you're not doing that you're doing? Because you should be doing something that takes it forward. Associated with that DG, what is it that you're going to do in quarter four that you do not do in quarter three or two that's going to change the picture? You're going to have more bodies, you're going to have more skill. What is it that you're going to do in order for you to be able to change the status quo? I mean, I can ask that question to, in respect to the red areas, where they are red and you say that it is, that it is. What is it that you want to do to be able to do that? Because you're not saying at the same time that Treasury stopped the appointment of personnel. So the number of personnel that you're having in quarter three, you're still going to have that number as you proceed forward. While I'm at that, why did you not fill the post before August? Because now you're going to cry about it, that the Treasury is the one that's blocking you. Treasury is the bad guy. Treasury is this. Treasury is this. You had an opportunity to fill the post, critical post. When you were doing the cycle of planning in the last part, when you were planning, you were planning the critical post to appoint the critical personnel. Why do you not do it? Now you're going to use the reason of the Treasury. It's not a very good reason. With respect, Mr. DDG, it's not very good reason, and I see many of them in the room. It means you, and only you, are bad planners. You're taking long to bad to implement. Unless you say, in South Africa, you don't have skills. You can't find the people to put into those positions. But if you have your own internal red tape, that makes your inability to be able to implement. You need to look at that and say, what is it that you need to do best in order for us to move forward. So I can go on and let me not overkill this. CFO, Mthatha Airport, and I think the question has been asked, you've got two sentences there, that there was a decision to pay, and then that the decision was then rescinded, or you call it, use the word recall, that you're not going to pay anymore because you're already in the, you were on the way to Treasury to do condolment to pay. And then suddenly something happened and then you said, no, but you must not pay. At that point, was the scope not clear? That in the first place, your first initial step of asking for better money in Treasury was inappropriate. Because if the scope is your view, and it's what we're going, we're going to go with your view, you take enough money, this guy must do their job. But in that, there is also clause that protects the state in the event that they do not necessarily deliver on their results. They will not pay the 350 million in cash like that in a bank. Because you say, if the deficiencies and the deficiencies in the work that you do, we will keep the other money back. That's how you enter into it and let it was out of your reach. Then you say, the second sentence you say, variation of order. The contractor is not going to install the light because the money is not being paid. So what's going to happen? Because the airport will need the light. So at the end you're going to ask Taxa to fit the bill. I think the question was also asked, but I just wanted it for my absolute clarity. What is your solution?
not a transfer solution to this problem where there is a problem of disuse around the issue. I don't hear you say we will appoint someone else to do that with the money that we still keep in our bank. We pay the, all the money, everybody, all that up to the cent that you pay to this company before you could test. Because in contract language, there is a period in which you don't pay money. You keep it in your bank because everyone understands that there will be something wrong that has to be fixed and the money must be available to do so. What happened here? The last question. There are many, but okay, let's do it. So, the last one is this. NetMap. Please help me to understand. You say the plan is there. PICC technical group structure. Not meeting, does not, actually refuses to meet with you. Why would they refuse to meet with you? I hear you saying the minister was involved. Even the minister can't get them to meet with you. Why is it so? And if you don't meet with them, what else are you going to do? You're going to fold your hands and say you do nothing? Because the EA is the authority that will have to go to cabinet to say all what you've asked us to do can't work because this big body called technical group refuses to meet with us. You can't come here and just make that as a reason that all options have not worked. Cabinet is the body that makes decisions, not the technical committee. If the technical committee is not meeting and you are clear to make submissions, then the minister must take the things escalated to another level. Certainly can't be only reason unless I'm ahead of myself that has already happened. It's just that it didn't mention it. That's so what are you going to do? You as a department now. This thing is not moving. You know that the NDP, you are the lead agent. You understand that this thing is now correct. Are you not going to do anything else about it? On this, what are you going to do? Other than the reason of her, I'm not really taking it as a reason that you can move. The country can move forward because some committee there, we call technical committee, of people who are employed. By the way, they don't do a chart. And the minute they do, they get their commission. And then they can't move forward. I couldn't have a third introduction of it.
Hello, Kako. Thank you, Honor. Good morning, everyone. I apologize for being late. Chairperson, I had a question around the issue of upgrading of Tata Airport, but the answer by the CFO satisfied me. I'm now confident that whatever that is there is as per specification. Nonetheless, I will do my own oversight because that's my process. I'm nearer than Tata Airport. Because there is something. Now it is reported that a certificate has been signed and the project has been handed over to the Eden Cape Department. But if the CFO then does close it by answering what the Honorable Ramatlakane raised, that will be done here. Coming to the issue of taxi recapitalization, Chair, we were satisfied with the presentation by Mr. Machabata in our 2 day strategic workshop in Gauteng, somewhere last year, because the reason for the understanding under that program was that the taxi owners are no more bringing their taxes, that's what was reported even to our electorate. What does not satisfy me is what is written in the report here, that the understanding is due to smooth spending. That is not, but now I'm satisfied because it's giving us the same answer that he gave us, presentation that he gave us in our self-expression. But it means the funds, they need to be redirected somewhere or have another plan. On the issue of provincial road maintenance, I'm worried that because the spending is reflects at 82%. And maybe by when we get the fourth quarter report, there is going to be a shift. But hoping that it will not be transferred later because it will be rolled over for the provinces. But let me not preempt the fourth quarter report. We are now at 82. At least there must be something that is done according to that provincial road maintenance grant. Coming to the issue of, there is some in the presentation where there's a mention of funds transferred to metros and whatever for the BRT system or whatever, public transport. Under Buffalo City, there's zero. I just want to show if there are any plans, future plans for Buffalo City, just that. I'm not saying there must be something planned because it's not planned yet. Are there any further plans for Buffalo City? Thank you.
Jefferson, we'd like to welcome the presentation from the transport, but nevertheless, to encourage them again, that please must submit your thoughts in time, not less than 10 days before we start. Then I'll come to the matter. Chairperson, I'll also reinforce what was raised by colleagues, but start at the back. Chairperson, there is a thing which is worrying me, maybe if they can clarify us. During your annual report of 2014-2015 financial year, there were emphasis of matter raised by the Auditor General, whereby he said the department is investigating all assets that could not be verified or directly meshed. How far are you? Because this thing is form part of your report. Number two, Chairperson, what is worrying me again? During the presentation of the COPA a few days ago, there was an evidence that they can't keep the records. I don't know what is the status quo now. Because of the arrows of page 5. Slide number 5. Is not the contribution of that? That it looks as if some of the things they are also looking down because of you are unable to keep records. If you can clarify us on that one. Secondly, I'm worried about public transport more than a lot of things. Somewhere you are the craft. In terms of public transport, let me motivate it further. You see, some people, they take us for granted. I don't mean you as a department, people outside, in terms of our line functioners, portfolio community transport. But we're not aware of what is happening. They want to continue that the people they continue to have further as the people who didn't have anything in the past. So, my worry is that, please, you can take us about whether we're doing enough for public transport. Because somewhere you indicated that in terms of, national railway safety strategy, also you said draft strategy not developed, as targeted to quota. Because I believe that this strategy also, it will form part of contributing towards the public transport. And then, also the issue of maritime. I'm worried I'm worried kakhulu in maritime. Maritime transport, apart from, what is it? Slide number 39. You see? Exactly what was raised in Scopa. You mentioned it on bulletin number 2 that in quarter 3 it is reported that implementation of audit recommendation has been monitored on a continuous basis. However, no evidence was provided to support the reported information. That means somehow it's a simple record. The system doesn't talk to each other. That is short. And again, living in that, from Ubambi, as Nizwa is called chief, you said something about linking with this, which is why me, the issue of overspending, and then also the issue of, in particular, the maritime one. Sure. I'm glad I got to this later on that one. Like on page, slide number, and if I want to make it, number 48, Maritime Rescue Coordination Center. We spoke about 75%. See, to me, it's worrying me because this site, somewhere at the back in terms of the maritime itself, the performance is not okay, you need to be looked upon. But at the end, it seems like the percentage are rising up. How do you lead that one? I don't know if you get my question. How do you lead with that one? Because the other side, their performance is not good. The other side, the effort seems to be good in terms of the presentation like. And then, lastly, as I indicated, on slide number 55, in terms of the public transport network grant, here you said, Buffalo City, budget zero, spent by municipality zero, Manga Wounds State zero. I'm told you. Because there is where chunk of the people are staying. The majority of people are there in terms of the population. To me, I'll put a practical example now. You take the issue of Western Cape, you take the issue of Northern Cape. Where is the population against Eastern Cape? But here there is no budget, there is nothing. I'm just satisfied. Last one, Chairperson, the issue of listing the grants to, if you can remind me, slide about the issue of the assistance to the provinces. Yes. On slide number 19. On slide number 19, in terms of the provincial road maintenance program, Hamsun. I don't think it is Hamsun. I'll take an example now. If you can take us on board, that what are the developments? Because most of the crises are there in the provinces. I'll put an example. There was an example whereby, like myself, I'm from Mpumalanga in Bethel, the national road, which is N17. If it comes from Springs towards Bethel, it's national road, but when it gets to the town, it became a local road. And after that, it's national road again. It goes to ML, what is it? It goes into ML. If out of ML is national road, but if it gets into the town, local, does those towns have capacity for those to maintain those roads? Doesn't they have, you know, heavy trucks are traveling there. Those roads that can take you there, they don't last even 6 months. If it's six months too much,
okay.
I'll put my case there.
Okay. Thank you. Colleagues will respond to the question.
Thanks. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, honorable members. Yeah. I must answer this from chat, and I think I must give a background of how we got ourselves into this project. work was started by Department of Defense. We are not involved in that process. It started as a project that was meant to solve the issues of economic development in Eastern Cape as a primary responsibility, but part of it was also to deal with the issues of what was then called Project X, which was the funeral of the late President Mandela, so it started there. The aim was to turn this effort at the time when it was going to defend into a defense effort. But then, as it were, what they then discovered along the line is that you couldn't have civilians in a military effort. So it went back. So it was only owned by the Eastern Cape government. What then transpired was that they then had a service provider that they hired. This service provider was working on risk. So, they were not tail design per se. So, if it was an ordinary thing, you would go out on tender, detail specifications, you would start, you would finalize the T, and there would be things called retention, and you would know how much you retain, maybe at the end of the project would be left with 15%, that in case there is something, there would be guarantees that the service provider will then give you so that you can fall back on them. That, as it were, didn't happen. This became a regular expenditure. You can look at our books in the year 1314, which was also then condoned by the National Treasury. So it did not follow the normal process of the monitored quantities as they are going, taking, seeing, this is the distance and all that, this is here and all that. And that's the context in which it happened. Later on, yes, we brought in project managers. When we were given this, we brought in project managers. It was project managed by AXA project managers, the guys that would understand that much more better than us working with a team of engineers. And yes, indeed, what happened before we paid this guy the money is that National Treasury then hired a quantity surveying firm from Cape Town to go and do the fiscal verification of whether what the service provider say in terms of that, and that was separated into different things. Much more what they worked on was the civil work to check whether indeed a slab the guy put there was the correct one and all those things. So that followed that process. And the claims were for 354 million at the time. But when the Department of Defense had started, this was the 312 million rand. So the National Treasury agreed that the amount these guys are charging, whereas they can confirm that the money can, it's not too much above what the value would be. Now, we also went to an extent of checking the issue around who owns the asset, why is it in our book and all that. We got from the accountant general an accounting opinion, because at the time my argument was that we couldn't spend money on an asset that does not belong to us. We were told that in terms of modified cash standards, the upgrade qualifies as an asset. So we are putting the upgrade in our books at the price that was paid. So the 354 million then get paid. We then have an asset called upgrade of Mutasa Airport in our books. And we are keeping it for purpose of transfer, because of course you can't separate the two. It's like putting a music system in a car that's owned by somebody else. You can't necessarily put it for long, because the guy that's enjoying the benefit in terms of that description would be the guy that owns the car. So at all material times, this thing was supposed to shift, to move. Then during the funeral, what then happens is that then the lights are now newcomer, the lives are not fit for purpose. That's one. Two, from a safety point of view, they did not pass what is called the bringability test. Meaning if a plane was to land and hit this thing, it was just break so that it doesn't then damage the plane and all that. So from that perspective, we found out that there were deficiencies. But you remember that we paid the guys the money. The plane no retention. Yes, the guarantees are there, but the retention is not there. So we started the process with the service provider. The service provider then came with a story that, yes, we agree that was the case. And the disaster became, when the national leader went and did the quantity surveying study, our view was that it was everything that was commissioned. Their view was that, yes, everything was commissioned, but they think they insist their variation order that were over and above the 354. So, the view was, do you bring them the variation orders that they did, or do they fix first? Then that's where the data was. Others believe that, let's go to the National Treasury, get them to repeat variation orders and then. And their view was that they have the variation order so that we can use that money to pay. Decision was taken, now it comes to a decision of a CFO. I said, no, I'm not paying the checks. They owe us money. In fact, that they must pay back the money for changes so that I can use it. So that's exactly where we are in terms of the issue of retention and how the particular project was managed different from the other project.
Let's try and summarize the answers.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying. That one needed a broader view of where we started, where we are, and why we are where we are today, so that the members understand. So as we are, AXA is not owning the asset. The asset will still belong to the Eastern Cape Provincial Department. AXA will operate the airport on behalf of Eastern Cape. So it's not something that we are taking it and giving to AXA. So if there are anything that must happen to the asset, Eastern Cape Provincial Department will still be responsible for that. I hope that has clarified the issue. The emergency planning, why have we not spent the compensation of employees budget was cut for the year 2016. So 27 million was taken from the baseline. So 27 million gets taken from the baseline, the number of posts are still the same. So the question was, do we go on hiring even though the compensation of employees budget has been cut? What we have resulted is that it's going to be unauthorized thing at the end. So we have to say, can we move money from goods and services into compensation of employees? And that's where, in the process of doing that, that's where at the end when National Treasury answered us, and in August, they said you are not moving that money, neither are you filling posts. So we said with that problem of not moving the money from goods and services into compensation of employees, and being told we are not supposed to fill any posts. So I'm not saying that it's a matter of budgeting. It's a matter of planning. We planned, we budgeted, we thought we can move money out of the allowed, but moving money of goods and services into a compensation of employees needs approval from National Treasury. And in August only did they come back and say, you can't spend the money going forward. So I don't think Honorable Ramadagan is about the planning per se in that particular instance. Thank you.
Maybe just to add on to that, Honorable Ramadagan, the positions were advertised, most of them, on time. We are meeting with applications. We can't proceed with the shortlisting and appointment because of that instruction from pressure. So it's really not because of poor planning on our part. If we were to be alert, we would quickly be able to be in most of positions.
Okay. Thank you. And, just a question in terms of the absence of Transnet in the food court report on the consultation of the national rail policy. It's correctly observed. Transnet is actually in the fourth quarter stakeholder engagement plan, and that engagement is already taking place.
With regard to net map on the PICC, I think the DOT, so the DG, we entered a cabinet process where the cluster of DG is responsible for economic research. A memo was submitted for them for this issue to them. It was meant to go to a meeting that was scheduled on the 17th of February, but that meeting was been postponed, and we have a new date, which is on the 16th of March. The NEDMET report will be considered in the cluster. It is after the cluster approval of the reviewed work that it will go to the economic, to the cabinet committee and the cabinet finance. However, there is this limitation, because even when we present it at a cluster, the issue that is linked would be whether you exhausted your consultation with the PICC, but the matter has moved since that. But while we are on a parallel process trying to get the PICC meeting with us to finalize the issue.
Sir,
maybe let me just ask the issue of the downward.
There is a question linked to what Mr. Makari was answering. Honorable Ramasekan, the PIDC is not just a technical committee. The Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission is led by the President, and there are a number of ministers who are part of that. Our minister is part of the management committee of that of the PIDC. The Deputy Minister is part of the Secretariat of the PICC. The PICC is led by Mr. Patel and the Secretariat of the PICC is led by Minister Patel and Deputy Minister Cronin. So it's not just a technical committee, it's a high-powered government structure that we have to pass through in order for the NEDMAP to be submitted to cabinet.
There was a
question that why are you going down generally? I think it was the end of the presentation and the details indicated, which you did not present, and said it's an urgent time to deal with those red flags. As we were responding here on a number of cases, we've already addressed some of the challenges that the students in the third quarter. I may give an example, the NLTA issue is already gone. The rural transport started in our case. We went to back to MIMEC and said that the consultations are taking too long. We would like to run a parallel process and go to the cluster system. So we are addressing those and believe that we will match last year, if not improve. It's just that I don't want to put my head on the block on that one. But we are working very hard to make sure, therefore, that...
Responsibility, Mr. Pastor, please.
My head is
on the block. Don't responsibility, please.
It's on program, then my head is on the block, sir. No, but generally, we are monitoring all of us as a group in terms of improving on that flight number 5. The intermodal facility in Venda is purely a provincial project, but nothing to do with it. We happened to meet with it and then experience the challenge, Chair and Honorable Mazonga, who know where we were dealing with Section 100. The defense and everything else that you spoke about, we realized and we also provided our own process and report. What we are told is that there's about 3 or 4 reports, engineering, technical reports on that, and the department is in a litigation process with the service providers. That's a big, we hope that that matter will therefore then be resolved amicably. I personally so. Not only the cracks, but the training cycles and everything else associated with it. I don't know who designed that, but I think majority of the problems come from the designs. Okay, on the technical recap, I think the issue was, then it means there's money that needs to be shifted. I had also done the permit to say that don't touch that money because it services the beneficiaries who are not necessarily benefiting from the subsidy on public transport, as was indicated by Honorable Spande. We are working very, very, very fast with a plan to turn things around. We will have a new recap process, not in 2016, but at least in the next year. A new plan, as part of the turnaround plan, but we are also working on a subsidy, public transport subsidy, which we indicated earlier in the committee, whose focus would then be the commuter rather than the operator. So we are moving very fast. We realize that, I think even then I said that is watching that the test recap in its current form is not performing. They might be tempted to say, give us the money, and we wouldn't want, definitely don't want to go that way. We have great plans for that, funding. We wouldn't want to lose it. PTNG, Public Transport Network Grant, for Buffalo City and Malawi, is that as the cities plan and prepare plans and bring them to us to bid for funding, those that are not ready and we know they will not spend, then they accept that they will not spend. We don't give them money. Mangawu was the case. Buffalo City, they started very well, but they then went to serious supply chain problems and litigation and court cases and related issues. Those were not resolved at the time we were doing the 15-16 allocation. So we were going to give the money that they would not spend in the 15-16. With the adjustment, the midterm adjustment, they had provided 1 million to Buffalo City because they are resolving their issues. But that's how we allocate money based on the state of readiness. And this is why we are resisting attempts from the lines of Cape Town to want to then break away through a process of assignment, because the money that they have are actually temporary money. We took from the cities that are not ready and gave the cities that are ready. So the baseline is temporary. That money should go back, because everybody now is becoming ready in terms of the planning. But that is basically the reason. They were not ready. Mangawu will get 26. Buffalo City will get 21 in the adjustments of this year alone. And next year then they will then get substantial to then proceed with their assistance to those two cities. Among with that.
And then the last one was the
people who don't have, I think I've just answered this by saying putting together a facility police that will then have its focus as the commuter. It will no longer be a bus only subsidy, rail only subsidy, and you'll find out we don't have enough to then service taxi operations, but it will be a public transport subsidy regime. And we hope then again to finalize that even before the first half of the finance commission that is coming. Thank you very much.
Let me just give it to you and just summarize.
Thank you, Chairman. We just responded to a question raised by the Honorable Sibanda. They relate to an observation of a what may appear as a discrepancy where maritime transport branch is reflected as
bad performing, which we all regret, but also in relation to the expenditure, high expenditure in relation to I'm referring to the question raised by Honourable Sipwanda, where you observe what appears to be a discrepancy in the expenditure reported, particularly where maritime transport operations is reflected as bad performing, whilst when we consider the expenditure relating to the Maritime Revenue Coordination Center appears to be a little bit high. The reason for that is because the Maritime Rescue Coordination Center is a function that was assigned to the Southern Maritime Safety Authority. So the expenditure reflects a transfer for the services provided by the Maritime Rescue Coordination Center. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to give an indication on the on slide 19, which the Honourable Sipwanda spoke about in terms of the N17 and the MLO streets and Beatrice streets, you know. So I just wanted to clarify the roles and responsibilities in terms of the levels of government, of scales of government. The PRMG is responsible for the maintenance of the provincial roads, proclaimed, declared so as provincial roads. So if you look at the N17 international road, which is maintained by our SANRA, so you can see that these are the two different levels of authorities and assignment of duties. So for that reason, it does also allow them to enter into MOUs in terms of maintenance as and when they so need. So it's a responsibility of the municipality to fix the streets if they don't have the capacity and approach any level of government which has got capacity, maybe ANRAL or the provincial government, but not use the PRMG, use their own coffers, because it's ring-fenced for such. MOUs are very useful, engagement of such are very useful, or TDCF, leapfrogging the road to become completely a national road from start to finish, like we have done with the Moloto Corridor. Thanks.
All right, what can you follow?
Now, the follow-up, Chair, had to do with what the DG was explaining. I do understand how the structure works, but what we have been told is that the technical committee does not meet with you, that they no longer know what to do more. That was the statement that was made, because they're not meeting, you're stuck because of them. That's why I asked the question, what then happens if that happens? So the fact that the president and deputy president says that, we all understand that. That's precisely the point. That you can't stack at a lower level and then say you have nothing to do. So I think now your intervention seems to be suggesting that something will be done because of understanding with the role of each minister and so on. Yes, sir. The follow-up question was small on this issue about the Mutata Airport. You say that all the money has been paid. There's no retention. In fact, you should be claiming more money so that we can help, we can deal with this in terms of retention. Now, I just wanted to understand, why was there no retention? Because I'm dealing with construction, dealing with the defective stuff. Is it not your problem? Not your problem. Someone else's problem. Why was it not built into it? And if there is, well, are you going to really? Is it just an empty threat? Are you going to carry it through? That they actually they have to pay that money in order to deal with other issues. I'm asking it because it's fairly a serious issue. The problem of the scope creep. Of what if the treasure was in the scoping and they excluded something or they thought it's excluded, that's another story that you're talking about. Because treasure is the one that walks around with a big test. But your statement didn't say so. It says it's part of it. But all the money is delayed. Why did you pay all the money?
Okay.
just a follow-up right on what the comrades have asked, and also outcome with the questions we're not responded to. Chairperson, you see, what worries me about the issue of this Mutara Airport, for how long it's going to take? Because now we are 20 years in power. The issue of the responsibility, the people who are responsible, you know, from the soldiers, etc., etc., but now, for how long is it going to take? Long time now. And again, in my questions, Chairperson, where I was not given an answer, I'll say two examples. Number one, I asked about issues which was raised during the meeting of SCOPA about the issue of keeping records properly. I even indicated, made an example of slide number 24, whereby you said, however, no evidence was provided to support the reported information. I was never been responded to in terms of the maritime transport.
Okay.
And again, okay. Last one. I indicated where I started that, you see, if you check in your annual report 2014-2015 financial year, whereby the emphasis from the auditor general, which says the department is investigating all of it. My question was simple: how far are you before those investigations and the findings? Before, thank you.
Mine is more of a comment. Mr. Matos, the tender facility is not a pure provincial function. You qualified by saying true. I think you shouldn't have put that word true. The money came from enterprise from Prata. The project started, I think, around 2008. 7 towns were identified in the book for intermodal facilities. And that one, I think, was among the biggest of all the other 7 entities. Because it was around 206 or so million at the time. I was still the provincial secretary of the ESP at that time. And receiving a memorandum of agreement to that extent between Basai, Kasai, Tulamela, and the Department of Transport in the province, the money comes from him. There is only one DG of transport in the country. So Basai, Kasai, and whosoever are organs of state with account to a DG. That's our understanding of our government operation. According to the records, I have the records, I can go to the AG office and say, where are these records? So it's not so, as you said, the true provincial function. It's not so. I can recall very well what happened and how all the projects were rolled out, where municipalities were just implementing agencies. But at the end, the bus has to stop here because the money came from here, Prata, and so on and so on, inside. We can't go into the details of a state agency. Because state agencies account to a DG and a minister. Of course, they do come to us here. So I wanted you to get the record straight.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry. Concurrent information, write a report, don't respond. Go get information and respond later and write it to the Secretary of the Commissioners or somebody will get a response of the report. CFO?
Yeah.
And bring the record.
CFO?
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Why no retention? I think the Honorable Ramatagan was out when I explained. Long and short of it is that this was a project that was started by the contractor on risk, and it used to be in the Department of Defense. We had nothing to do with it. So, as it were, detailed designs that were done. So the work that National Treasury did was after the fact. When upgrades were long done, and they were sitting with invoices, the question was, is this amount that these guys are claiming reasonable under the circumstances? when you go in and the house is already built, you value the house with everything in it. That's what our claim is to say. You can't say lights were outside, because when it was valued, the lights were there. The issue is that now the lights have been found to be substandard and not in line with aviation lights you were supposed to put in the airport. Now, the issue that we are raising is, they are now claiming there are other variation orders that we don't know about, and we said we are not going to recognize. They are saying, pay us the money for the variation order, we'll use it to fix the lights. Our view is that, in fact, you should be paying back the retention so we can use it. So that's where we are with the service provider. That's the decision, and that's what we think the court will now have to determine as we move forward. The issue around the assets, yes, assets are verified. We are at a point where 90% of them are done and verified. We will be moving and seeing what we do with the assets that are not verifiable. Some of them are assets that people have left with them timing long time ago, and we might have to write down. Those assets. I'm told I have to repeat.
See, the problem is that we are focusing into corresponding to members. DPG, let's talk. When I respond, and then whenever other members didn't get your answers, then I'll ask and follow up the interview.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. The evidence that we can't keep records. I think the discussion that was held about keeping records was, so far as PRASA is concerned, we keep records. There's nowhere in our financials where you will find that there were no records kept for anything, which is why we want to keep records to the extent that if there was a meeting or there is monitoring, there is a record for that monitoring. Because what the Honorable Member is referring to is in case where there is monitoring, and people know there is monitoring, but there are no particular minutes or anything that shows that that was done, and that's why it's not acceptable from our side. Our information must be complete for it to be able to be audited as such. So we do keep records. We have evidence that we do keep records. In case where we don't, we do put measures in place to ensure that those records are available. Thanks, Chair.
Kevin, do you still want to respond? Thomas, do you still want to respond?
I will provide proof and records to the committee, and we will definitely do that. But really, no allocation was made available from the Department of Transport. And Intersight was a program project manager, and that's why this problem around litigation took too long, because government to government taking it out of court was going to be a challenge. But we're providing an extensive report, including where it comes from, and we will just go and dig it. But I don't even know about it. And I said the only time I got to know about it was when we were doing work as part of Section 100 in Limbob. But it is purely the province, the municipality, and Intersight as the program manager. Intersight provided engineers to go and manage the project.
Before I close, yes.
Jefferson, I think you closed it very well before when you said Mr. Matarate must write down everything. And I'm also pledging to assist. I was the chief transport officer by then when that thing is happening. And we have the cattle resolution and everything. I will assist by giving you documents. I also have the letter now which the provincial department is understanding everything. It's here in my office here in the department, which I was told to come and raise it against the minister. I have the record that was the National Department of Transport project. And I'm willing to assist by information. Thank you.
You want to say something? Okay, TG?
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Chairman.
I think there was a critical question that it was asked by Honorable Ramasakane about the worry trend of performance going down in all branches in the third quarter, and about how we intend to respond to that situation. What we have done last year, which is what we will also do this year, is that in the last quarter, especially in the last month of that quarter, we increased the frequency of EXCO meeting, because normally EXCO is once a month. But as we round up the year, we meet more regularly, once a month at least, once a week at least. The purpose of this regular meeting is to assist sister branches that are lagging behind to make sure that they pick up and thereby increase the performance of the department. So we are quite confident that we will turn around the performance once again to end up at a respectable level. But I wanted to share with members the status of the capacity in terms of human resources in the department. Unfortunately, the machine refuses to take my USB. But I can just tell you an overview that in the department we have on the organogram 10 DDGs. Of the 10 DDGs, 5 are vacant and 2 are on suspension. So the result is that we currently have 3, and for the better part of the year, we have had 3 substantive DDGs out of 10. At the next level, the chief director level, we have 36 positions on the organogram, and we have 13 vacant. That is also a critical level where things have to happen. If you go down to the director level, out of 99, we have, I think, 23 vacancies. So all in all, we have a senior management level, a vacancy rate of around 43%, which is bad because it has a potential to impact very negatively on the performance of the department as a whole. Which is why we take this period as we wind up the year to close up ranks and forget about belonging to a particular branch, but work as a collective to improve the performance of the department. We know we are limping, but we are doing our best to make sure that we produce a respectable output. We don't want to disappoint our people. We don't want to disappoint you as you do your oversight work over us. And we are really trying very hard to perform on our APB.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, and we appreciate the report that you just gave. We take note the state of Hollywood that you're about to get an Oscar. You're being nominated to get an Oscar. If you don't fill up this position, we'll give you an Oscar. Because I think
the issue of Hollywood Junior Department has been enormous. Everybody is enjoying to be in Hollywood, acting every time. We can't have such, but we must be able to you know, provide the portfolio committee with direction of what kind of assistance that you want from us to ensure and push us at least you fill this position. Because that's what I'm saying. I mean, you took too long to fill the post, but until not that, they close it down, then you're going to throw blades. I can't. We can't delegate responsibility. That's the problem. You know, I was just saying that, Matamati, we can't relegate responsibility. The responsibility, you must take it, and how do we sort it out from now onwards? I think that's what you must be able to look at. I think the issue of Mtaka must be sorted out so that it can be handled. We don't want to have that kind of problem at the time. We don't want to have all this delay about Mtaka, Pangaisi. The next thing you'll be telling us that those days were healing, sending Homo, and you know. We don't want that. We want that project to be handed over and to be taken over at time with it. But I guess the issue of the after. We take note, DG, that is Section 26, if members can be able to take note that if they be in Section 26, what is the responsibility that's supposed to happen there? So they must be able to be patient and then understand that it needs also proper more work with Parliament, especially with the both houses. But the other thing that we take note is that in your report, there's no way where you give us an update about your SOEs. What does it mean? It means you are not do what you ask you, what we asked you last year. To follow up in monitoring what is the performance of the SOEs. Because one of the other challenges you are saying we can send money to all these other SOEs, but you don't even tell us what are they. Are they using the money or they don't? Or they just take it there. Or we're gonna see with an OCHA report saying, hey, these people they procured the they send them for 1 million, but then it's 14 million. You know, the transfer report that says that they're like, hey, what? 1 million, from 1 million to what? 14 million? A process that just, you know, they send over at the light of an eye. Those are the things that you must be able to get teaching. I don't know how you deal with it, but we still need to get information around the issue of the performance of your SOEs. They haven't said anything about it, and it really worries. The state of your performance, that is always going down. We also take note of those things. We really need a stronger improvement. We hear that you're going to have many meetings to ensure that you sort it out. My question still remains, why didn't you have it while you anticipated this challenge? I think it was around September, if not to take it. You're telling us that you anticipate the challenge. So you didn't do anything about it. And those are the challenges that you must be able to deal with. We've taken notice that in the road transport branch, you are saying you're doing well, but you're overspending. What is the meaning of that? You can't say, yeah, we're spending 100%, but you're overspending. You know, you spend beyond your thing that you've been given. It's a very stressed challenge that I think we must be able to look at. We'll still continue to wait for your presentation of those legislations that are still outstanding, and we'll be able to assist you and push them very fast. But you must ensure that you bring legislation in time and clean up drastically when we deal with them. The issue of maritime transport is an issue to you. And I don't think it must come back like this again. Either you tell us who's not doing it right, or what is happening. Because this is another 30 years from the decision. And sign always low perform. Why? We can't get, are you having too many targets or what? Only 8 targets. No, you can't complain with 8 targets. It's too much. We must be able to understand why. because it's a very tough challenge. So you must be able to help us so that you can be able to deal with these matters. I think in a nutshell, we thank you, Department, for the presentation. I think we'll communicate with you with the rest of the other program in ensuring that we deal further with these matters. I would like to excuse the department so that we try and adopt the ministers, the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All members, the minutes of the 16th February. That you want to raise in this set of minutes? Okay, if there is none, Arnold Kako?
Chairperson, there's something very important that I would like to raise with regard to the minutes.
Huh?
At the meeting, must adopt the minutes. Thank you.
The proposal is that the minutes should be adopted. Any seconder? Arnold Kako? Second.
Okay.
Any objection? All right, the minutes is adopted. Hello, Keita. Want to say something?
I don't know. Okay, sorry,
don't worry. Okay. I think we've managed to deal with the set of minutes. And thank you very much for the meeting today. We just want also to mention that the chairperson is getting a little bit better. She is about to be discharged from hospital, and we're still going to go and check what is happening and give an update around her well-being. And Katha?
Okay, I would like to make a proposal that if members of the committee can possibly, if we can do, just try to get some, like 50 rand or whatever from each person, and we can send her some flowers just to welcome her home. The secretary can possibly help us to arrange that.
I think let's finish this first. So that
okay. Okay. Remember, we are preparing something to send flowers there from the coffers from my budget. So we're trying to arrange the issue of flowers. I don't know how far we. Yeah, we'll put in a requisition to send some bunch of flowers. If it gets approved, then we'll send those flowers there.
I wanted to know when
it's going to
run up
for
next week or next month or 2 months.
Yeah, indeed. We've shifted for today because of their assets that they went to Ireland. We want to continue engaging with Prasa to check when are they available. but for the anticipation that next week it can be available, but we'll make sure that at least we communicate with members before the end of the week, so that at least everybody will know what is happening for next week. We highly apologize for the inconvenience. It's something that has now came disturbed our program.
Chair, I would like to hear your opinion on members of the portfolio committee going along with decisions in the portfolio committee, but then once they have the opportunity in the National Assembly, they suddenly object and have all sorts of stories that are different to what they said here.
I think why unit,
the person closed it because they would interpret us wrong, the PMG in fine.
So, other members, I think the meeting is at 10. Shall we meet again?